Lamed Nissan Meshchodesh Iyar, Sunday the 22nd of April, Rabbi Avi Wiesenfeld, Hilchos Tefillin.
Good morning, Rabbi Chodesh. There's a Beis Yosef in the beginning of Shin Yud Ches. The Beis Yosef in the beginning of Shin Yud Ches brings down in the Halachos of Hilchos Bishul when he tries to describe the different utensils that they used to use to cook various items in, and he says that because we don't have pictures, so it's very difficult to understand, and therefore we have to be machmir. So I decided, based on that Beis Yosef, the halachos of tefillin are extremely difficult to explain. I've tried to give the shiur many times in Eretz Yisrael without pictures to different bochrim, and I found it difficult. So I decided, Baruch Hashem, to come up with some kind of slideshow to show the olam exactly what we mean when we discuss the halachos of tefillin. And it's interesting because I was given a shiur early on this week in Hasmonean. And one of the boys came over to me, he said to me, I don't understand, does it really make a difference? Do you think the Rabbeinu Shel Olam really cares if it's just a little bit off that size, or a little bit too low over there? I told him as follows. I told him, can you imagine if you send somebody an email, and you miss out one tiny dot in the email? Will it go through? He said, no, it's not going to go through. I said, but it's only one dot, what's the difference? He said, no, it's very important, every single letter is important. So I told him it's the same thing over here. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it does make a difference to him, every detail, and therefore, especially in Hilchos Tefillin, we find that the details are extremely important, so much so that a person is not going to be used to the mitzvah of Tefillin if he doesn't know fully all the halachas. And I just want to, before we continue, I have to mention an unbelievable Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Tefillin says, what happens if a person wakes up one day and he realizes, oy vai, I have never properly fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin. And I had this many times that Bochum came over to me after the shiur and he said to me, you know, from my bar mitzvah until today, I realize now I've never been mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin properly. Says the Shari Tshuva, what do you do in such a situation? Says the Shari Tshuva, okay, you realize you didn't put on tefillin. No, you make tshuva like anything else, you say tshuva. Oh, but says the Shari Tshuva, what's going to be? And I'm scared. With the bracha levatola that a person makes, at least two brachas, according to Minhag Ashkenazim, every single day in its tefillin, that's scary, says the Shari Tshuva. That's why it's so important to understand and know these halachas extremely clearly. So, with the Haskama of Rabbi Zvil Orbach Shlita, we came up with this slideshow to understand all the halachas. Let's understand first the Ma'ilas HaMitzvah. So great is the mitzvah of tefillin brought down in the Torah, Shemusha Yavah, that everybody who wears tefillin is guaranteed a long life. Rabbah brings down that somebody wears tefillin and wraps themselves in the talis and davens is guaranteed a place in Gan Eden. Abaya says that not only that, that the fire of Gehenna will not affect him. And Rav Papa says that all his averas will be forgiven. The Yerushalmi says that there is no greater mitzvah, greater than the mitzvah of tefillin. The Shulchan Kodesh brings down also that tefillin is worth all of the mitzvahs put together. And the Zohar Kodesh also says the same thing. If a person puts on tefillin, it's as if he's been mekayim 613 mitzvahs. And the Mishnah Berurah says, right, Klal Yisrael loves scholars, we like different things, we go to Gedolim, we get brochas, we put red strings around our arms, all these sorts of things. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if a person wants a scholar for a long life, this is how to do it, if a person's careful in the halachas of tefillin, and of course the fire of Gehenna cannot affect him. And I have to mention this unbelievable Medrash Tehillim. Says the Medrash, that Klal Yisrael says to Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, we want to be Yogea in Toru Yoimun Veloila, but we just cannot, we don't have time. We can't do it. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, okay, if you mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, I'll make it as if you were learning Yoimam V'loila. That's an unbelievable medrash. Let's start with one of the bigger mekayim that we have in the Torah, that pasuk that we say a few times a day. The pasuk says, "V'shalton ois al yotzchum v'lulu toi tefois bein einecha," which refers both to the shel yad and also to the shel roish. Now there's a machlokes we're showing him. How many mitzvahs is a person mekayim when he puts on the shel yad and the shel rosh? We know, for example, let's take the mitzvah of dalet minim. When a person takes a luluf, he takes an esrim, hadasim, and arovas. So although there's four different items over there, but really he's mekayim one mitzvah. Says the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah, when a person puts on tefillin, he's mekayim two mitzvahs, a shel rosh and a shel yad. The Ramban is choylik, says the Ramban, no, it's two halakim of the same mitzvah, but it's only one mitzvah. Let's go slightly into the halachas of how tefillin are made, just to understand how unbelievable the work that goes in to making every single piece of the tefillin. So on the left hand corner, on the right top part, you see that the tefillin are made for one piece, gasas. It's made for one piece of skin, which is formed, carved into different compartments, squared off, and then smoothed down in order to look like how it is today. A lot of factories, and the one I visited in Yerushalayim, actually work not through electricity. It works through a person's own body. For example, the place that I went, they took an exercise bike and they converted, they connected the exercise bike into a drill in order that everything should be lishma, just like when a person makes matzahs. So some hold that hand matzahs are better because it's more lishma. So it's the same thing with tefillin, that some hold that if a person uses his own koyach haguf, his own body power, that's considered also to be lishma, and therefore that's what they do. And the rest of the tefillin process continues with the stitching being done, the holes being made, everything being measured fully, which is interesting. Just like people don't know, there's a mashkir that comes into many restaurants to make sure that the hashgacha is okay. People don't realize that when it comes to tefillin factories, it's the same thing. There's a mashkir that comes in every so often to make sure that the tefillin people are making everything exactly equal. As we know, the halachas are extremely important, that everything has to be exactly equal. The parashas are written, folded, put inside, tefillin are painted, and that's how we get them today. But the main thing we wanted to discuss today, is Hashem, is the halachas of actually putting them on, and how to put them on, and on the right position. Now, there's a klal gadol in the Gemara, Malim v'kodesh ve'ein maridim. If a person has two mitzvahs, and he has to do both of them, so we start with the lesser kodesh, and we move up to the more kodesh one. That's why when a person has to put on his talis and his tefillin, so of course what we do is first we put on our talis, and then we put on our tefillin. The question is, what happens if a person, by mistake, he comes to shul, he's a little bit tired, he realizes he put his hand over his tefillin. What does he do in such a situation? Says the Gemara in Yuma, Eima Vina La Mitzvahs. Eima Vina La Mitzvahs means that once a person has an opportunity, has his hand on a mitzvah, you don't pass it up. Therefore, Paskins the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Chofei in Arachayim Hilchos Tefillin, that if a person by mistake takes out his tefillin, or even puts his hand nearer to the tefillin than the talis, he has to put on his tefillin first, and only then put on his talis, because of Eima Vina La Mitzvahs. However, when it comes to the actual tefillin itself, removing the shal yad and the shal roish, which one does a person remove? So we know that we always remove the shal yad first. Why? Because the pasuk says so. So what would happen in such a situation if a person comes to shul and he puts that? Sorry. Remove the shal roish first. If a person removes the wrong one first, so what does he do? So just like you said before, eima vina la mitzvahs means that a person can't pass over a mitzvah. Over here is different. Because the posuk was makbid in the Seder, in the order that a person puts on the tefillin, so therefore if a person by mistake removes the wrong one, therefore he's going to have to put it back in order to put on the right one first, in order not to get involved, because the posuk was makbid in the order. Let's go now to the position of the shalyat. There's an interesting thing, the Shulchan Aruch Beit Mitzvah Rabbeinu Yonah brought down in the Beis Yosef, that a person's kavana, when he puts on the tefillin, is extremely important. Al Kidei Kach, Shlomo Zalman used to say, that the mashmoyus from the Mishnah Berurah is, if a person does not have the correct kavanos when he puts on the tefillin, it could be that he's not yotze the mitzvah. And the main kavanos that a person has to have, number one, he has to realize that there are four parashas inside the tefillin, and he's putting all of them on. Number two, there's a yichud shemayah, because Baruch Hu's name is being tied to him. That's why I always say this, a person has to be extremely careful what he does, what he says, what he thinks about with the tefillin. And just to say a maisa, a merdeka maisa, was a maisa of Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh was one time, he was getting to the end of his life, and his wife was a little bit sad, and he said to his wife, "What's the matter?" She said, "You should know, I'm nervous, what's going to be when you pass on to the next world? Who's going to support my family? Who's going to be the one to give me food, to give me money in order to support the family?" He said, "Don't worry. You should know when I pass on to the next world, there'll be a man from Istanbul. And this man from Istanbul is going to come, and he's going to offer to buy my tefillin for 300 rubles. And when he wants to buy, you say, no problem. No problem, I'll sell it to you, but on one condition." What's the condition? The condition is, when you wear my tefillin, you must not think or talk about any other matters apart from what you're doing, apart from the davening. No business, no anything else. She said, okay. And a few months later, Kachava, he passed away, and unbelievably enough, a man knocked on the door from Istanbul, and he said, "I want to buy the Orach Chaim HaKadosh's tefillin." She said, "Okay, how much do you want to pay?" 300 rubles. And she marveled, wow, what a novi. And she said, "No problem, I'm going to go to the tefillin, but there's one condition my husband said before you put on the tefillin. And that is, every single day when you put on this tefillin, make sure the kavanah that you have, and the nezoras hachadas, when you think of the right things." And he said, "Fine, I'm very makbid on these things, no problem." And off he went, and he used to say that the kedusha and the unbelievable awe that he felt when he was wearing the Orach Chaim HaKadosh's tefillin was unbelievable. And then one day came along an unbelievable business offer. and they were pressuring him to answer this business deal. We need an answer, we need an answer. He kept on pushing him off and went, "Tell him now, leave me alone, come back later. No, no, we need an answer, we need an answer." And he gave in and he said, "Okay," and he told them whatever the business deal may be. And he said after that time, he no longer felt the same kedusha of the tefillin. He then took his tefillin to be checked by a sofer who opened it up, and lo and behold, the pouches were completely and utterly empty. There was not one Jewish letter inside that. The Sefer Rebbe used to say this story, and he used to say, and it's almost true, that the person's kavanas, when he's putting on the tefillin, affects the tefillin itself. I spoke to a sofer recently in Yerushalayim, and he told me the same thing. He said he finds people that are El Chayidin, that are davening properly, their tefillin, their pouches inside are beautiful. Well, you'll find other people that are not so much so, and you see it actually affects what goes on inside the tefillin itself, as you see from the Maaseh. Let's continue with the position of the Shalyat. So number one, the Gemara dashes that it has to be put on the left hand. Left hand, why? Because the stam yad in the Gemara means left hand. Another reason the Gemara says is Yod Cha. Yod Cha means the left hand. And the Levush is an interesting raya. Says the Levush, the reason why most people are right-handed put on the left hand is because we have a Gzeres Shavah from Kshira Uksiva. It's because Kshira, when a person writes to say the Torah, generally has to be done with the right hand. Therefore, the Kshira has to be also with the right hand, and therefore, that's why if the Kshira is on the right hand, we have to actually tie it on the left hand. Yeah.
Why is he had Kabona? What's a Pashas Kosher?
If again, sorry?
Why did he had Kabona?
Yeah.
Where's the Pashas then? Feel Kosher?
Yeah.
And they changed from
the
kosher too?
Yeah, that was a Maisa. Now we have a question where we put the tefillin itself. We have a problem, because the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Chof Zayin writes that it has to be put on the muscle itself. It has to be on the muscle. Says the Ramah, not on the muscle, on the lower half of a bone. There's a bone that goes from a person's shoulder down to a person's elbow. It says the Ramah has to go on there. So the problem is, how do we do both? Especially as the Mishnah Berurah writes that there's no machlekes. Says the Mishnah Berurah, there's absolutely no machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Both of them are MS, and therefore we have to mekayem both of them. In order to do that, what we do is, in the top pictures, we actually put the tefillin on the muscle itself, and also what we do is to make sure that it goes on the lower half of the muscle, towards the elbow, but not too towards the elbow, not too close to the elbow, because if it's too close to the elbow, then it's going to be a problem. From this picture, you see that a person can normally fit in around about two fingers, say the poskim, in between the end of the shalyad and the elbow itself. The Mishnah Berurah writes in many places, and you look at the Mishnah Berurah, sometimes the Mishnah Berurah writes halachas, sometimes the Mishnah Berurah screams. And over here, the Mishnah Berurah is screaming, and he writes, people think, you know, we put a little bit lower, what's the big deal? Says the Mishnah Berurah, not one bit of the tefillin can be too low. And the cloud of knowing where to put it, says the Mishnah Berurah, is, it has to be always higher than lower. If a person is not sure exactly where on the arm to put it, for example, this picture I took here is from one of my bachurim yeshiva who works out, and he's got big muscles. But a lot of times, especially the bar mitzvah bachurim, when you have the chicken hands, they've got mamish nothing over there. So where are they going to put their tefillin? So the cloud of Mishnah Berurah says is always higher than lower. Why? Because the shittas are going. The grow holes that the entire muscle is kosher for the tefillin. Now, although the Mishnah Berurah doesn't paskin like this, but the evidence for sure it's okay. Therefore, if a person has a sofik where they put the tefillin, higher is always better than lower. Over here, for example, you see if the tefillin goes too low, right towards the elbow itself, for sure that it's not going to be kosher. And again, not only is he not being yotzei his mitzvah, but he's also having a problem of a bracha levatol. The pasuk says, "V'hoyu hadvarim al levavecha." Says the Gemara Menachos, how do we dash in this pasuk? That the tefillin shel yad have to be close towards the actual heart. Therefore, a person has to put on his tefillin shel yad slightly inclined in towards his heart in order to mekayim the mitzvah, like you see over here. However, it must not be too low. If it's facing downwards, that's obviously going to be too low, and he's not going to be yotzer in such a situation. Now, when it comes to making the baruch on the tefillin shel yad, so what's important is the Gemara Darshans and Menachas and many other places in Shas is that we have a klal in Hilchos Brachos over lasiyosim. Omer Asiyosan means that we have to make the bracha before doing the mitzvah itself. We don't make the bracha while we do the mitzvah, before we do the mitzvah. So therefore, the halacha over here is that a person has to be careful. Sometimes a person can make the bracha while he's putting on the shayad on his arm. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's over and over. That's much too early. It has to be right before the mitzvah is done. What's the mitzvah tefillin? The kshira. What's the kshira of the shayad? The tightening of the first strap once the shayad is on the right position. Therefore, the over asiyosan, in order to make sure that the tefillin shayad is in the correct position and the bracha is made in the right place, the tefillin must be placed on the correct position of the arm. That's what we've explained already until now. The bracha must then be made, and then the knot must be tightened. It cannot be a person does it in different orders, because it's a shaila that the bracha was not chal. So again, the tefillin on the right arm, the right place, the bracha is made, and then the knot is tightened. When it comes to the wrappings around the arm, it's interesting, the Rosh, brought down already in the Beis Yosef, says as follows. Says the Rosh, my mimic is that when it comes to wrapping around the arm, I put on the shayat, I then put on the shogosh, and then I continue wrapping around the arm. Why? Says the Rosh, simple. The wrapping around the arm is not a chelik of the mitzvah. If it's not a chelik of the mitzvah, a person making a hefsek between the shayat and the shogosh comes along the Zohar Kodesh and the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, that this is our minute. Says the Zohar, no, that mitzvah that we have, the wrapping around the arm, as a chelik of the mitzvah, that it is part of the mitzvah, it's not considered a hefsek for a person to wrap around the arm and make before he puts on the shogosh. And that's exactly what we do. We actually put the wrap around the arm 7 times, that's the minhag of most Ashkenazim. Why 7 times? Says the Oruch HaShulchan, simple, because it says, Pesach HaZadecha, the words of the Pasuk are 7 times. And therefore, the 7 words in that Pasuk means that we wrap around 7 times, that's our minhag, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's kedai for a person, the Chatchila, to try and make sure that all 7 wrappings are underneath the elbow, but over the wrist. Now before we move on to the Shalosh, a very important halacha in the Shalyat, this is Zoya and Parshas Pinchas put down in the Beis Yosef. Says the Zohar Kodesh in Parshas Pinchas, that a person has to be extremely careful to make sure that the knot next to the shalyat, what's called the yud hatzvinin, the knot that looks like a little yud, that knot has to be mamush somach to the tzvinin, touching the tzvinin itself, like you see from the right hand picture. If it's not, says the Zohar, if it's distance from the shalyat, Loshen HaZohar B'Yisa'id will distance you from the pleasures of Olam Haba. That's the Loshen HaZohar Kodesh. And Paskin the Mishnah Berurah, then a person should be careful even when the tefillin are in the back, he's not even wearing them, to make sure that this knot is always touching the actual tefillin, and that's why people have all the shticks when it comes to the strings and all different ideas to make sure it touches. Now, what happens if a person doesn't do that? And sometimes it often happens, they get loose or whatever it may be. So the Maisa, there is a nation of Rom. Sorry, there's an Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer in the Stipe used to Paskin this way, says that if the knot is touching anywhere of the tefillin itself, and normally that's always going to be the case, then there's never going to be a problem of this Zoya, as long as it's touching some. But again, the Chatzchil is Kedai to make sure that it's touching the tefillin itself. Now, we know there's an Issa Gomor for a person to make a Hefsuk between putting on the tefillin Shalyad and the tefillin Shalosh. So the Mishnah Berurah says, what's considered to be a hefsek? So 100%, of course, speaking is for sure a hefsek. He says, even walking around, and even standing in silence is a problem of a hefsek. Pulling down the sleeve in between, putting on the shalyad and the shalosh, is an interesting question in the poskim. Some poskim are machmeh, some poskim are mekel. If a person does it quickly, just over the sleeve, then for sure that's okay. And some say you should do the jacket afterwards. But again, it's not a major problem. When it comes to hearing Kaddish or Kedusha, what happens if a person, he comes to shul, he's putting on his shalyat, and then he realizes they're about to start Kaddish now. So he knows he's not allowed to make a hefsek between the shalyat and the shalosh. So how is he going to answer? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, don't answer. You stand still, you be silent, and Paskin the Mishnah Berurah and Simon Chav Zayin, it's ki'ilu you answered. If a person between the shalyat stops for a moment, listens to Kaddish, and then continues, it's ki'ilu you answered. If he does answer, most poskim hold, you're going to have to make now 2 brachas. On your shalosh, because you have made a hefsek in between the shalyad and the shalosh. But Moshe holds, and if a person answers the kedusha, boruchu, and the main yishmei rabba, then he does not have to repeat the divin bracha, but again, he shouldn't do it lechatzchila. Let's move on now to the position of the shalosh. As we said in the beginning, the kaposuk tells us it has to be beinei necha. What does beinei necha mean? So over here it means exactly in the middle of a person's eyes. Right? As I dash in the Gemara in Menachos, it has to be exactly in the middle. Adkei kach, the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Graz brings down that there we know there's 4 parashas in the Shalosh, and it has to be, says the Rav Shulchan Aruch, it has to be the 2 on one side of the head and 2 on the other side of the head. Now there's a famous Sanzer Rav. The Sanzer Rav says that if, because the Gemara says there's a place on the head for 2 tefillin, therefore, a person doesn't have to be makbid to make sure that the tefillin is in the correct position. As long as it's somewhere over there, he doesn't have to be makbid. Why? He was choshish for the Ramah in Sima Kupbe Beis in Yerudea. Says the Ramah in Sima Kupbe Beis in Yerudea, there's a problem of the Yilbash. If a person looks in a mirror, there's a big shayla of a person looking in the mirror of the Yilbash. Now, I said that's why he held that a person doesn't have to look in the mirror today to make sure that it's in the right of his head. His son, the Shin of Arar, was choluk on him, and he held no. When the Gemara says that there's a place on the head for 2 tefillin, it doesn't mean one next to each other. It means one in front of the other. As you see from Kama Svadim, when they put on 2 pairs of tefillin, that's how they wear it. Therefore, the Shin of a Rav and other poskim, the Mishnah Berurah, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Chaya Odom, and everybody holds that it's mamish ma'akid person should be extremely careful to make sure it's bang smack in the center of a person's head. As you can see, if it's bang smack in the center, it looks central. If not, it's slightly off, then it looks not good, and therefore that's not going to be good. Now, the height is also extremely important, and the Mishnah Berurah writes over here also, Rabbim Nicholim Bazeh. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you have people that they think, as long as room of the tefillin is over the hairline, then I'm probably okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no. It has to be that the entire tefillin, from beginning to end, is above the area where the hair starts sprouting. The hair starts sprouting means not where the hair goes down to, but where the hair starts sprouting. Sometimes the hair can extend even longer than that. That a person should be matped to make sure that his tefillin is the oil up there. The Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan come and please to write. The schar that a person gets, however embarrassing it may be, for a person to tell somebody else your tefillin is too low, it's not central. The Mishnah Berurah says Ashrei Lo, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes a place in Gan Eden for such a person is just unbelievable. And therefore, that's why a person should be careful. You can see from such a picture that a person's hair goes way longer than where he must put his tefillin because the roots are higher up, and therefore the tefillin must be made sure that they're actually higher than the roots itself. That's very, very important. If a person is bald or starting to go bald, so it's a question where he puts his tefillin, if he most poskim is going to be put it on the place where he used to have hair, or at least rave people start to have their hairline over there, even if he doesn't have his hairline there right now. Now, the kesher hatzfillin, the knot at the back of a person's head of the shalosh, what does it have to do? So the Gemara says it has to be lemaila. What does it mean it has to be lemaila? So we know that from the Gemara that it has to have two conditions. There has to be two conditions in order for it to be kosher. If we don't have two conditions, then it's not kosher. The two conditions are, number one, it has to be the correct height. Number two, the correct position. Again, I can't stress enough that Mishnah Berurah here writes, if a person has it on the wrong place, so not only is he not yoyif the mitzvah tefillin at all, he's also not going to be making two bracha levatonis. And what does this mean? This means that it has to be, says the Mishnah Berurah, right keneged, opposite the face. Opposite the face, he says, with the Mishnah Berurah, is if it's too low and it's opposite the throat or the mouth, then that's not good. And always we know if a person has a good proof, is if a person feels down from his head when it starts to get soft, that's where the keshat tefillin should be. On the place, most of it should be right where it starts to get soft. And like we see from the picture, is that it actually is very much opposite the eyes. That's going to be the most achatchela place. And again, it's the place where it starts, where the skull starts to end and the skin starts to begin. And therefore, in that situation, you have to make sure that the knot, rave of the knot, is right on that place where it starts to get soft. If it's going to be too low, then it's not going to be yotza. For sure, if it's under a place where the actual hair stops growing, then for sure he's not yotza. It has to be on a place where there's hair the whole time. From this picture, you see that this fellow over here has the knot opposite his mouth, as opposed to opposite, like we said before, his eyes. It's got to be higher up from that. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says that it's very important for a person to make sure that his tefillin shalosh is actually very tight, the strap. Why? Number one, it has to be tight in, and if it's only loose, it's not good. And number two, the main problem is, when it's loose, it's going to be going down and down and down, and eventually it'll be on a place that is not going to be yotza the mitzvah. The Gemara also darishes klapet nim has to mean that it has to be exactly in the middle of a person's head, and the back of his head, exactly in the middle. Slightly off to one side is not good. And therefore, if a person has a shalosh in such a situation, it could mean that the knot requires adjusting, and therefore he has to change it in order to make sure he's mekayim the mitzvah. When it comes to the broch on the shalosh, here we have a major machlokes rishonim, machlokes rashi, Rabbi Natan, it's a machlokes, also the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, and as we know, machlokes mifin the svarim and ashkenazim. The minhag of ashkenazim is we make two brochas, and when we make the second bracha, paskens the Ramah, toiv to say, Baruch Shem Kavoy Machusin Le'olam Voiv. There's a big question over here. First of all, Moshe Akasha. If it's a Sofik, no, Sofik bracha is the Haka, like every other Sofik bracha. So, Meichat Esa, all of a sudden, over here, we have a Sofik, we'll make the bracha, and we'll say Baruch Shem afterwards. Says the Dauke Moshe in Achanami, but over here we bet some paskat Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore we make two brachas. Toy says the Ramah, just to be yaitza, all the shitas that we show him, we say Baruch Shem. Now I have a question with this Baruch Shem, Kavoy Machusin Le'olam Voiv. Why? I was once by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I asked him a question, a very negay shayla. I asked him, what happens if a person has a chocolate bar in his hand? He makes himself a brocha, and then he realizes, oi vai, just an hour ago I ate meat, so I'm meaty. I can't have this melted chocolate bar. What do you do in such a situation? So he told me, very simple. You say, Baruch Shem, Kavoy Machusin Le'olam Voiv. Cancel out the bracha, and then you're okay. So I have a question, how does it fit? If a Baruch Shem Kavoy Malchusin Le'olam cancels out the bracha, so why are you saying it then? You're cancelling out the bracha. The answer is, it makes a big difference when a person says it. And then Mishnah Berurah stresses that here most people make the mistake when it comes to tefillin, is when to make the bracha on the shalosh, and especially the Baruch Shem. So the order is as follows. Again, like we said, Oyvah Nasiyosim tells us that it has to be right before the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of putting on the shamoish? Tightening it on your head. Therefore, a person has to make sure not to make the bracha when he's got it in his hand before he puts it on the head. That's over the over. It's much too early. So therefore, the tefillin have to be placed over the head. It can be hanging there. It can be slightly on the head a little bit. As long as it's loose. The main nakuda is it's not in the right position and it's not tight. He then makes the bracha. And here's the mistake. He doesn't straight away say Baruch Shem. If a person says Baruch Shem straight away, says the Mishnah Berurah, you made a hesed, not a bracha. You have to make again a bracha on the shalosh because you made it too early. It has to be that the bracha is made, only then is it secured properly in the correct position, the height, the knot, everything we've said until now, and only then does he make a Baruch Shem. And that could be even 4, 5, 6 seconds after he's actually made the bracha, but if the Baruch Shem is made too early, then it's of course not going to be good in that situation. There's an interesting shayla if a person is allowed to hold the shalosh like this, where it's hanging down, as opposed to actually holding the bias itself. So there's a Taz, and there's a Mishnah Berurah, and some men, and they say if a person of a kind the mitzvah, then he is actually allowed to hold the tefillin in such a situation right before he does the mitzvah. Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Ben Ishchai, and other posts of Monotaina, that Al-Pi Kabbalah could be, it's not so recommended as a bezoin to the mitzvah. The straps of the tefillin have to be facing the black, smooth side outwards. It makes no enough meaning if a person has black sides on both. The smooth side has to be facing outward. The main point that has to be facing outward is number one, on the mocking of the kesher of the shalosh, which is around his head, and number two, the actual mocking of the kesher on the shalyad, which is the first strap around his arm. The rest of the strap that goes around the person, the bracha asked me from Hasmonim today, this week, he said to me, does that in Nichlam, what the Gemara says, you have to fast? The Gemara says you have to fast 40 days if a person's tefillin, the tzuas, are actually facing the wrong way. So he thought it means even if a person has the straps going over his body of the shalosh, so I told him no. Over there the Mishnah Berurah says it's a noy mitzvah. It's a noy mitzvah to make sure that a person has the straps facing the correct way, but again it's a noy mitzvah, it's not ma'akiv at all. Hilchos chatzitza. Now the Pasuk is al yodcho ben yinecha, right? The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yutes brings down that the Kohen Gadol is potter mitzvin shel yad. Why is he potter mitzvin shel yad? Because he's wearing things on his arm, and therefore he's got a chatzitza between the tefillin and the actual arm itself. Says the Ramah, only the tefillin itself is a problem of chatzitza, the straps are not. Oh, but the Mishnah Berurah says whenever shayach to the kshira, a person should be machmir to make sure that there is no problem of chatzitza. Therefore, a person has to be careful to make sure his tefillin, the bias of his tefillin underneath, is not, for example, on top of his kapel, and therefore he's having a chatzitza. A bracha came to me a few days before Purim. He showed me, Rabbi, he said, look at my tefillin, have a look. So look at his tefillin. I see on the bottom of his shalosh a huge, massive circle of blue paint. I said, the blue paint, what are you using blue paint for? He said, no, that was from last Purim, when I spray painted my hair blue. So now I have leftovers, I put on the tefillin, and I have leftovers on the tefillin. I told him it's a major shayla of chatzitza. It could be wasn't yoytzeh tefillin for a whole year. Also, it has to be if a person has a plaster on, he should ask a shayla whether or not it's a shayla of chatzitza. With other things, for example, like the haircut, if a person just had a haircut, or he's sweating, or he just had a shower, or it's the mikveh, whatever it may be, these are shaylas of chatzitza that a person should be careful when he puts on his shalosh. Putting on a watch, leaving on a watch is a big shayla. Because the essence we know the Mishnah Berurah holds, that anywhere around the straps that's not shayla to the kshira is no shayla of a chatzitza. However, there's a Prima Godim, and the Prima Godim writes that a person should be machmir not to have a chatzitza on the entire place where there's a ritzua. Our pizzer, the Chibina Rav, the Misharim, Rapadvan, Cheshiva Eifoid, write that it's Kedai Lachatchila for a person to remove his watch on the place where he puts on his tefillin. While wearing a tefillin, a person should be careful when it comes to eating, comes to talk on the phone, that's for sure out. The only big shayla is sleeping. It's an issa gomor for a person to sleep while wearing tefillin, right? You find those people, when it comes to tachman, so they put their head down for 5 minutes, they're still over there, and they never lift up their head there. Why? They're sleeping. It's an issa gomor for a person to sleep. Shemi Yafiyah. So Adkadikah, there's an Ishan of Rome that says that if a person sleeps with tefillin and is mafiyach, he's going to be worse than dropping the tefillin on the floor itself. That's how bad it is for a person to sleep with the tefillin. When it comes to removing the tefillin, and we're going to end, is the person should realize if he goes to the bathroom, he has to make a new bracha when he puts on his tefillin. So the Maizah post can say, if he sat down in the bathroom, for sure he has to make a new bracha when he comes out. If he only urinated in the bathroom, so to feed the Mishnah Berurah when he comes out, he's going to have to make a new bracha. According to most Poskim, in the Ravozin and Shevet HaLevi write, Fachina Minig, is we don't make a new bracha. I just want to end with an unbelievable story. Somebody came to the Chofetz Chaim many years ago, and he said, Chofetz Chaim, I have a major problem. He said, Chofetz Chaim, look, what's the problem? He said, I have not got any penny for my family. I haven't got parnasa, I can't feed my kids, I have a major problem. He said, Chofetz Chaim, I have an eitzah. No, Chofetz Chaim said, what's the eitzah? He said, great, I've got tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is a gavaldik, a mitzvah, a beautiful reward as we saw from the beginning. He says, I'm going to take the schar of wearing the tefillin for one day, only one day, and I'm going to cash it in. I'm going to tell the Rabbanu Shalom, you know what? Don't give me my staff for one day of tefillin in the next world. Give it to me in this world. Give me some food. Give me some money in order to support my family. Said the Chofetz Chaim, it's not shayit. It cannot work. Why not? Said the Chofetz Chaim, I'll give you a moshul. Can you imagine if a person goes into a shop to buy a loaf of bread? And he goes in, he goes up to the counter, he says, hey, I want to pay for this loaf of bread. And he takes out £1 million bill. And he gives it over and says, can I have some change? The fellow says to him, I haven't got enough change to give you. I don't have enough change in the cash register to give you. Said the Chofetz Chaim, the schar and reward for a person wearing the tefillin, especially in the correct place, is so great that it's not shy for the Rabbanu Shel Olam to give schar in this world, because there is no schar in this world. But Be'ez Hashem, through this, we should try to make the tefillin better, and earn have a good chodesh. If a person wants a summary of the halachas that we discussed today, it's available over here for free.
Being a chodesh, if anybody would like to be mishtatef, even though it's also a throwaway.